Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Hey, Rock Movers, welcome back to season six of the Rock Movers. As you know, season 6 is all about the men who are moving big rocks. And that includes, obviously, today's guest, Mr. Productivity himself. And he is in Houston, so he's a Texan. He's a productivity coach, a podcast host, has over 1,300 episodes, probably 1,400 by now, who knows. But Mark brings amazing energy, class, sass, and a little bit of sarcasm to his shows, which we love. So today we're going to talk about his daily routine, some ways that he can help you with practical strategies, ways to transform distractions into focused action, which obviously I'm needing today. So welcome to the show, Mr. Productivity himself. Mark, thank you for being here and for having such a great sense of humor. We are so, so happy you're here.
Karen, thank you for including me on the season of Men. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, welcome to my male entourage. So I said that before the show and I was like, I like that. This is my male entourage. So season 6, yes, is all about the men who are helping us move rocks. My audience is primarily women, but not exclusively. So tell us a little bit about how you became known as Mr. Productivity and what does that mean to you? And then we'll dive in.
Well, it all started back in 2005 when I was fired from my corporate job and I decided to become an entrepreneur. Okay. I didn't know how to spell entrepreneur. I could barely say it, but I wanted to be it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
And my first jump was into wedding and portrait photography, which utterly failed. But the one thing that came out of that was public speaking. Which is ironic because before then, I would love to speak in front of an empty room. Now I'm a podcaster, a speaker, an online trainer. So I was having a phone call with one of my coaches one day, and I normally identify as Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, but I was having an Eeyore moment. And he said, well, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I've got this bug to be a speaker and to be an online trainer, but I don't know what I should talk about. And he said, well, why don't you talk about productivity? And I said, well, that's weird. I don't know where that came from. Why would you say that? And he goes, I know a lot of people, and you are one of the most naturally productive people I know. You should share that gift with the world. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, you know the
what
rest
it means
of the story.
To me. Yes, the rest
the
of the
story. Paul Harvey
thing. The other question I didn't answer. Is one day on LinkedIn, somebody gave me the hashtag Mr. Productivity. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I didn't know what the etiquette was because they gave me hashtag M-I-S-T-E-R Productivity. And I'm like, can I use this? And they go, well, yeah. And so I rebranded my podcast, which used to be known as the Mark Struchesky Podcast, to the Mr. Productivity podcast. I have MrProductivity.com. And so what does productivity mean to me? Mm-hmm. What it means to me is doing the right things at the right time. So you could be doing productive things, but not headed in the right direction. So let's say I want to be an author. If I spend all my days working in my garden, am I being productive? I mean, I'm getting stuff done, but am I doing the right thing? So productive is doing the right things at the right time. So you're headed in the right direction.
Okay. Well, we all say doing the right things for the right reasons, but I love the right time being added into that because that does take it to the next level of results. Where you actually get results, not just get busy. Because being busy doesn't necessarily equate to business.
Well, yeah. For example, let's say you want to write a book. The first right thing you should do is probably not design the cover or the acknowledgments or the table of contents. You probably should start with an outline. And so you have to eventually, you or have someone create the cover, and someone needs to format the book and stuff. That all needs to be done, but that doesn't need to be done at the beginning. It needs to be done at the end. So there are things we all need to do, but if we're not doing them at the right time, they're probably not being productive.
Okay. So when you left corporate America, now you have this idea to become this productivity coach. How did you begin creating your business? Because a lot of people that are listening to this podcast are in corporate wanting to launch. And so having the insight of someone who's launched, failed, figured stuff out, and launched successfully is great. It gives them a lot of information. So not just how to be productive, but how to actually get some traction in the right direction first.
When I first started on this wonderful world of solopreneurship, I did not know what I was doing. I was making so many mistakes. I think I probably made every mistake you possibly can. I naively thought that because I hung my shingle out, I would be the next Elon Musk or Oprah or Tony Robbins. The money would just come flowing. And I
people are gonna going to be knocking down your door.
I opened the front door.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nobody here. I told my wife, but I hung my shingle out. Where is everybody? Nobody cared. Nobody cared. I went in the business for myself. And so when I tell people, when they ask me, hey, how do I do what you're doing? I said, well, let's set some expectations first. If you're making 100K a year at your job and you have nice vacation and other perks, that ain't going to happen, because when you're working for yourself, you have to buy your own insurance. And most people can't afford their own insurance because it's not cheap, because we're used to it being subsidized by our employer. So I said, I encourage you to go out on your own because you have ultimate freedom. But you have to set the expectations that it's not going to be as easy, because if I have an unproductive day, I don't make any money. If you're in a corporate world, you don't have a productive day, you're still going to get paid.
Yeah,
and
big difference.
There is the big difference.
Big difference, huge. So what is the first thing that someone launching this needs to do? If let's say that they've made a decision, they don't have a safety net, or they're not going to use a safety net of keeping the corporate job as they're launching. Maybe they're already like you, they're already in that position. And so for them, what is the groundwork to create this productive framework for launching? Because that seems to be the biggest problem is getting started.
They need to make sure that people want what they're going to do. I mean, just because you're excited about something, is anybody going to buy that something from you? I remember reading a book, Million Dollar Weekend, from Noah Kagan, who's the founder of AppSumo. And he says, just because people said, that's a great product, or I'll buy your book, or I'll buy your widget, doesn't mean they're actually going to do it. And so you may have a great idea, but are people going to open up their wallets and give you their credit card? Because I don't know about the audience. I can't go to my mortgage lender and say, hey, people think I'm a really great coach. So like, that's great.
I have 5,000 followers, so loan money to me.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't pay your mortgage with followers, likes, comments, views. They want the cash.
Yep. So finding, being a solution to the problems that people have is always the best way, right? You're coming into the marketplace with an answer to something that people are searching for. So let's say you've got a a business, you've started coaching, you're filling a niche, however you say it. And now you just have business coming in. So now you're busy, but you're kind of catching, you know, chasing your tail. You're just not getting forward motion. You're just staying busy. So how do they get from this whirlwind of chaos to productive? What is your best maybe one or two step that they would take? And then where would they go to learn more from you? We know you've got an amazing website with tons of resources, but let's talk about kind of what that looks like, because I feel like people are going to listen to this and they're going to be like, okay, this guy is, number one, magnetic in his personality. So I want to know more about that. And then two, I know that there's going to be more specific content that I need to get it, because this topic can be really wide and deep. And for some of us, it's just, it really needs to be very personalized.
Well, the first thing I want to caution people to do when they reach a point where they start getting a lot of business and mm-hmm. they feel like they're going crazy, two things. Number one, set boundaries. I only work Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. Now, I do show up on social media outside this time, but I have certain limits. I have boundaries of how many clients I will take per day and per week. So I don't like doing back-to-back appointments. So boundaries are really important. Number two, don't just start hiring people. That's the mistake people make, because they get in desperation mode. I'm going to get a VA here. I'm going to hire this person, this person, this person. And all of a sudden they go from chaos to broke. So what you need to do is you need to try to triage as best you can. Zoom out and say, okay, how can I settle this brewing mess I have going on here? And everyone's going to be different. So I can't say do step one, step two, step three. You have to look at your situation. Why is it chaos? Is it chaos because you caused it? Maybe you said, hey, I'm going to take on 50 clients, but you can only take on 10. So look at the situation and figure out what can you do to mitigate the situation. The answer may be to hire a VA, maybe not. So you have to look at your situation. But what happens is people wait until the problem gets too big, and then they have the walls falling down, the fire, house is on fire, it's pouring rain, the tornado coming. Now they're in ultra panic mode. Well, that's not the right conditions to be making a proper decision. So as you start seeing the business pick up, this is when you go, okay, wait, well, this weekend, I'm not going to do anything but sit down and figure out what do I need to do before it gets out of hand. People wait too late to begin addressing the problem.
Yeah.
So that's what I encourage people to do, is just don't let it get that bad. Now, your second question about what resources do I have? I like working one-on-one with people. Because yes, I have the Mr. Productivity podcast, and yes, I have my email newsletter, and yes, I'm on social media, but there's something about talking to somebody and finding out their very unique situation. So I always invite people to go to my website, MrProductivity.com, M-I-S-T-E-R, MrProductivity.com, and there's a link that says work with me, and let's get on a free, F-R-E-E, free, no cost, no obligation discovery call. Let's find out what you're going with. Maybe I can't help you. And I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not desperate to try to make it work. If it's not going to work, maybe you don't like bald guys. Okay, well, I'm not your guy then, okay? Because I shave my head every day. But it's really important that we discover what is the issue. And a lot of times people come to me, they think the issue is X when it's actually Y. And so before we even talk about me being your coach or anything, let's figure out what your issues are first.
So you also have a blog and a podcast, and then you have an ebook that they can buy, really minimal cost. But one of the things that you mentioned was not waiting too late to get help. Do you also see or agree sometimes people other than just the sheer cost of it, but sometimes they try to scale or delegate things out too soon when they haven't mastered it themselves. And so they're getting people, I say this, and I'm just going to fully own this, throw myself under the bus. there were things that I did not enjoy doing, so I tried to outsource those before I really understood what I wanted it to look like and what I wanted it to be and what my goals were with it. And so then I hired this person, but couldn't delegate properly because I didn't understand it well enough. And so I 100%. Found that I was really having a hard time delegating to her because I really didn't know what my expectations were.
As a solopreneur or a small entrepreneur, you need to understand the process before you give it to someone else. Because otherwise, how are they supposed to do it the way you want it done?
Right.
So my wife works with me, and I don't understand this. She couldn't read my mind, so I actually had to create standing operating procedures. I know, right? So I had to write down how I wanted her to create. She creates all my short videos. And I had to go through, and as I was creating a video, write down every single step I did. And as she goes through them, she updates them in case someday down the road we're going to hire somebody. Because people are not mind readers. We think they are. Right. They're not. But you need to understand how to do the task before you hand it off to someone else. Because if you don't, you're not going to know, okay, are they doing it right? And if you go to them and say, well, why are you doing it this way? Well, you didn't teach me, so I just tried to do the best I could.
Figured it out,
But a lot of people are trying to outsource. They think it's cool. It's a badge of honor if I just outsource. I'm like, no, stop, time out. You need to figure out what you can do, what you're really good at, and then you can start getting rid of the other stuff, but make sure you are understanding what needs to be done. And then you're giving it to people who are qualified. Don't just get the cheapest person, because sometimes when you hire a cheap person, it's going to cost you more because you have to have someone else to come back in and redo it. So make sure you're clear. That's why one of the first calls I talk to people about is clarity. Most people are not clear. And if you're a solopreneur, get really clear on what needs to get done, how it needs to get done, when it needs to get done before you even consider giving it to someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely learned that one the hard way, but I tend to learn everything the hard way. I do it wrong at least once before I learn. So that was definitely a big learning curve for me and something that I had to really take a step back and actually had to slow down in my business so that I could get to a place where I could speed up and could scale. I had to let go of a great VA because literally I needed to own the steps and had to slow down and really create my processes and really slow down to figure it all out. Because I thought I had a great idea of what I wanted it to look like. And then I got in that place and it's like, none of this feels right. None of it. So 2024 was my year of burning down and starting over. And it's becoming something very beautiful in 2025. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And my VA keeps calling me back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And I'm like, not yet. Not yet. I'm getting there. But I love that this is what you help. What would you say are questions that people should be asking of themselves or of the people that they're bringing on in this place where they're learning to master the productivity part of their solo business or small business?
They have to get clear on what they want. What are their expectations? Because if you don't have clarity, how can you expect someone else to come into your business and take the ball and run with it? They're going to look to you. And if you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, well, then you can't expect them to do the right thing. Again, people just think hiring a VA or hiring an employee is the magic sauce. It can be, if you are clear on where you want to go, what your mission is, what you want to achieve in your business, and then you hire. But so many people, as I alluded to earlier, they hire too quickly because they wait until it's too late. And I want people to really, if they get nothing else out of this podcast, is to slow down and be watching. And if all of a sudden the business starts picking up, it's not going to go from one client to 1,000 clients in 1 hour. You're going to see signs it starts ticking up. You'll one client, two, three, four. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, wait a minute. I'm not going to do anything this Saturday except for think about where I want to go with my business. But most people are like, I'll just wing it. Winging it very rarely works out.
Trust me. Learn from my mistakes. Winging it does not work. I am the master at winging, which is great when we're talking about dinner. It's great when we're talking about maybe, you know, fun excursions. Those are all great opportunities. Your business is not the place to wing it. So thank you for that reminder. That one stung a little bit, Mark. So for someone, for someone that's listening to this and they are just on a personal development and personal growth for their business, what are your favorite books to recommend?
Oh.
Because I have a few of my favorite. Let's see if we have the same.
I love reading books and I love reading print books. Mm-hmm. So right now we're recording this at the end of January. I'm rereading Brendon Burchard's High Performance Habits for the third time. I have reread The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma for like three times. That is a really powerful book. Actually, his last several books have been very powerful. He's got like the eight sources of wealth, and he's got the Everyday Hero Manifesto. So I really like Robin Sharma books. And can't go wrong with Gary Vaynerchuk. So I've got books in my library that I'll constantly reread over and over again, because every time I read it, I'm in a different season of my life and the book speaks to me differently.
Yeah, 100%. I love The Go-Giver and all of the Go-Giver series. Bob Berg is just a phenomenal man, and I love their audiobook too, because David Mann and Bob Berg do the reading in it. You get to hear from the authors. I love when an author does it. I love the Jocko Willink book, Extreme Ownership. I think even though those aren't specifically for businesses, for leaders, those two, and for anyone in sales, also both of those books have such great principles in them for just leading yourself and leading others. I think they're just phenomenal books. And there's so many others. The Four Agreements, looking at my book list over here. Oh, the 12-month week. Wait, how is it? Shoot, what is it? Sorry. It's the one where like you're like, I'm going blank on it. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Gary Vaynerchuk's 12 and a half weeks.
Anyway. You're talking about Brian Moran's book, right?
Yes. What is it called?
I think it's a 12-week year. Isn't it called a
12-week year? Yeah. I said that and that didn't sound right. But yes, it's basically putting yourself in 90-day cycles. And so, It's about, you know, another productivity hack and different way of looking at things in cycles and kind of niching it down into smaller bites. So you're not looking at the whole year. You're actually just taking your year at 12 weeks at a time. So great resources. But thank you for sharing those. There's a book in there that I didn't know Robin Sharma had those other books. So I'll have to check out those. Love also reading, and I do a lot of driving to go see big grandbabies and for my roles, different traveling in Texas. And so love audiobooks for those trips. But all right. So what are some final words as we begin to kind of wrap up or head to the end of this thing? What are some great tips, suggestions, life hacks that you just find really, really beneficial for your clients?
One of the things I've been really, really harping on my listeners and my clients lately is health and wellness. I did not realize what an impact health and wellness has on your productivity. So if you're not getting a proper amount of quality sleep, if you're not exercising, if you're not eating well, drinking enough water, it's really going to affect your productivity. I will be 60 years young on June 21st of 2025. And I feel like I'm 42. And that's because I wake up every morning between 4:30 and 5:30. I will do a single proper push-up. And I say single proper push-up because it's no cheating. It's a military-style push-up. Then I do a four-minute squat because I read a book called Built to Move. And as we get older, we neglect our hip flexors. Yep. So if you've seen a little kid, when they squat, their butt almost hits the ground. How low can you go? Well, I can go almost to the ground because I sit there in a four-minute squat. Then I do a seven-minute farmer's carry in my house, carrying a 20-pound weight in each arm. Then I do a 23-minute reading walk, and it is exactly what you think it is. I'm reading a book when I'm walking up and down my hallway. When I'm done with that, I go out for at least a one-mile run. I've run at least 1 mile every day since August 29, 2017. And I come home and I take a cold shower. And that's how I start my day. No excuses. And I know people who are 35, 40 years old, and they go, I can't do that. I'm like, dude, I'm going to be 60 in June. What do you mean you can't do that? Because what happens is they don't move enough. My wife, for one of our anniversaries, got me a rebounder, which is in our living room, right behind the couch, so I can rebound when I'm watching my favorite sport, which is football. We call it soccer in America. I call it football because that's real football. Or watching TV. I'm bouncing up and down on the rebounder, which is good for the knees. And I always hit between 15 and 20,000 steps a day. So stay active. If you want your productivity soar, stay active. Get up. Like I'm doing this interview standing. We sit too much. Sitting's the new smoking. So get up, move around, walk around, rebound, go for a walk around the block, take the dog for a walk, stay active. When you are healthy, you are far more likely to be productive than if you're a slouch. Don't be a slouch.
Great, great advice. One that I've added to my life this year. So I'm feeling it, all the feels this week. So let we get to kick in my butt because I also have very, very weak hips. So yes, all the things. Well, this has been good. I appreciate you sharing your wisdoms, dropping some golden mic moments, and really pouring into our listeners. I know that they're going to get tremendous value from this because you come at it from a different perspective. So happy to connect you with our world and have them check out MrProductivity.com.
And just make sure you spell out Mr. Don't do MR Productivity because you will not go to my website. I don't know where you'll go to, but.
Well, we will put all the show links in there. So make sure you click on it in the show notes. Get connected, follow his podcast, Mr. Productivity, the podcast. And there's so many things that you're going to get from just being in his world and learning from him. And I know that we will benefit from everything productivity in our lives when we do it from a place of balance, when we do it from right things, right reasons at the right time, everything works out. So one of the things we say in our podcast, or that I've said, is that there's so many things that are going to come your way that you can't control. The only thing you can control are your choices. And so when you choose to move, when you choose to be productive, when you choose to move those rocks and take action, life will then move with you. So everything is about the choices that you have. You can't control that life's going to happen. And now you know that you don't have to move it by yourself. You have people like Mr. Productivity and the Rock Moving Mama herself in your corner. So we're happy that you're here, and we can't wait to see you on the next episode of the Rock Movers. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.